Today on Rockin' the Suburbs.
Hey, Patrick, what would you do if you had $75?
Wow, Jim, I've never had that kind of money before. Let's see. I'd buy more records, a new stereo, drinks for all my friends, a bitchin' Camaro.
Now, Patrick, it's just $75.
100 samurai swords, one of those stone houses with a moat, Tottenham Hotspur, a gold necklace, new shoes, a case of...
Oh, man, it is a beautiful day out here today.
It's lovely out here right now, Jim. It's just gorgeous.
Very nice. Great fall weather. We're out on the deck.
Yep.
I'm drinking a Founders All Day IPA. That'll
Founders.
Be a surprise to people
mm-hmm.
who listen to the show.
Yep.
This is Rockin' the Suburbs. I'm Jim Lanahan.
I'm Patrick Foster.
If you're new to the show, this is pretty much it. We sit out on the deck. We talk about music. Sometimes
yep.
we go to the basement.
Sometimes.
Depends on the weather.
Yeah.
But it's nice out. You can hear the cicadas right there.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
Mm-hmm. Yes, very nice. Sounds of the suburbs. So
yep.
sometimes we like to respond to correspondence that we get from listeners.
Yeah,
and sometimes
we
make a whole show around various emails and calls and things like that
yeah.
that we get. We call that Fan Mail Friday. But
mm-hmm.
every once in a while, there's one that's just so good that we just dedicate a whole episode
yeah.
to it, right?
It very thought-provoking, I
yes.
think, right? That really requires a lot of in-depth
yeah.
focus and analysis.
We got to really talk about it.
Yep.
So this is one of those emails. We got an email from Joe Fleischer, longtime listener. He's from High Point, North Carolina.
Love NC.
He had a lot to say about a show we did recently with our friend Brandi Crawford about her experiences seeing Roger Waters live.
He picked up on a little passing reference
yes.
that we made and really put a lot into it. A man after my own heart.
He did. He did. Yes. Don't you love that when
yes.
somebody really examines that one little piece? He really goes into detail here. So I think before we read this email, we should get Brandi on the phone.
Absolutely.
And she
Let's
can be part of this conversation
mm-hmm.
too. All right.
Yep. Let's do it.
Hello?
Brandi?
Hey!
How's it going?
It's going great, Jim. How are you?
All right.
Good,
so
good.
We caught you at a time when you're doing some household projects, right?
Yes, and just so you know, I've been painting in an enclosed room, so I have not been drinking, so if I'm a little delirious, it's because of the paint fumes.
Oh, just say whatever, Brandi. It's fine.
Okay.
I'm serious.
All right, Brandi. So we sent you this email that we got from Joe Fleischer about the Roger Waters show.
Yes.
And we're going to read it right now here on the episode. And then let's all discuss this a little bit, okay? Because maybe there's something we missed the first time we had you on.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
So here we go. From Joe. He says, enjoyed the show with Brandi Crawford about seeing Roger Waters recently. I wonder if others had as many questions as I do about the fleeting reference to a $75 tour poster. After she said that, it was all I could think about.
It's true. Joe really thought about this a lot.
Yes, yes, he did.
Yeah.
He lists here. He says, so many questions. Does it come in a tube? Or do you have to hold it in your sweaty hands throughout the two-hour show? So let's start with that.
Okay, yeah, that's actually, this is a great email, by the way. Very interesting. And I do have quite a funny story about the poster. So it did not come in a tube. And it was actually a quite thick poster, believe it or not. It's on a thick, heavy-duty plastic.
Mm-hmm.
And so we had a girl that was sitting right next to us. She had to have been in her early to mid-20s. She had pigtails, and she had these shoes that had its own light show. It was quite annoying. Like after 20 seconds, I don't think my daughter and I couldn't take it anymore. So this is where the poster came in handy. We just wedged the poster on the floor between the seats, and it blocked the light show from the girl's shoes. So, and by the way, those shoes came off at the end of the concert, and the girl was waving it in the air. So it was quite interesting.
Oh, my gosh. So the poster was served a utility.
Yes,
in the show,
utilitarian.
That's
poster.
Right.
It definitely served its purpose at the show, and right now it's not really serving much of a purpose. But let's get back to this email.
Yeah. Did it take you aback at all when you were at the merch table to be like, that poster cost $75? What was their thought process as you were deciding whether, you know, to pull the trigger on this purchase?
Oh, absolutely. Yes, it did. But I also knew that going in this type of venue, that we were going to be gouged as fans. These are the type of prices that we run into when we go to events like this. It's a given.
That's right. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's get back to the email here.
Yeah.
The next question from Joe about the poster. Will it be framed? He says, that's another $100 I know because I have tour posters on my suburban walls. So what are you planning to do with the poster?
Well, right now it's sitting on my dining room table collecting dust. And so the intention of the poster, now I did not purchase the poster. My husband and my daughter both have the very same poster. So those are two $75 posters.
Wow.
So I don't know what my daughter did with hers. I'm sure it's hanging up in her room. But my husband, he has like a man cave downstairs. So I'm positive that he'll have it hanging somewhere by the bar so that it's some, you know, conversational piece in the future.
Got it. Yes, that was the next question from Joe was, is it a good match for our suburban suburban design schemes? Will it go above the mantle, in the kitchen, great room, mud room? But you're saying it's a basement item.
Yeah, absolutely. It's okay. Not hanging up anywhere in the main part of the house.
That's the exact thing that would happen in my house,
yeah,
too.
Yes. Matches the main case.
That's right. Okay.
Doesn't go with the scheme.
He then asks, is it a lithograph? Is it limited? Is it hand-signed by the artist? Does it have value as a collectible? Any insight on any of that?
Well, you would think that it would be any one of these things, being that it's a $75, you know, plastic poster.
Yeah.
So I did a little bit of research on that, and it is limited.
Okay.
It's a limited poster, official, and it has the 641 Productions copyright in the lower left hand corner.
So numbered.
So I don't know if that 641 is what it says. Okay. Now, I did look on eBay to see if I could find the same exact poster on there, and I did. And so if it's a signed poster, the same one that we purchased, it can go as high as $675. An unsigned poster, which is the one that we purchased, can go anywhere between $124 to $161.
Wow.
And we purchased it for $75.
Good investment.
We got a deal.
Yeah, that could be like, that's like a 50% ROI, right?
Yeah.
If you do
but
that.
It's probably all worth a $15 to produce. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Okay, and then let me just read the rest of this here. There's a lot of other things, but I think it goes to a much bigger point that
it's
Joe
is existential here.
Trying to make. Okay, so bear with me for a moment.
Yes, it does, definitely.
He says, is this particular poster a statement about consumerism? Does its price tag ask us all to consider how much is enough? Are great seats to a concert enough? Or will we not be satisfied until we also have the $11 beers, the $35 t-shirts, and the $75 posters? Mm. It seems to me that The Wall is, in part, an examination of rock star megalomania. Is that also expressed through the sale of a $75 poster? Animals, he's referring to a Pink Floyd album,
yes,
right?
Mm-hmm.
Animals
mm-hmm.
presented conflicts between dogs, pigs, and sheep. In that scenario, what animals are selling the poster and which are buying it? Then he says, finally, I'm serious that I think this really warrants some additional discussion because these questions are really about the shoddy treatment of genuine music fans by venues, ticket services, and in this case, a 73-year-old mega millionaire. He spent much of his life railing against consumerism and trying to make an impossible link between rock stars, boy, I can read today.
Fascism.
I have my all-day IPA.
Thank you.
Yes.
That's what it
got is. Got my all-day IPA going. Between Rockstar... I don't even have the excuse of the paint fumes. Between Rockstar's fascism, music fans, World War II, and our mothers, it's a little disappointing to discover it was all BS. So, you guys are the Pink Floyd experts, more so than me. I turn that over to you for discussion.
Well, you know, I do want to say that Joe probably speaks, when he makes these statements, that, you know, he's speaking for all of us in this, you know, area here. And he makes some, Joe makes some very, very valid points. And it's coming to the point now where going to a concert, to see a live band, a big artist at that, it's becoming a luxury. So to say.
You're right.
I mean, it really is. I mean, these tickets are outrageous.
Mm-hmm.
And we purchased those items because, for me personally, it was just kind of capturing a moment in time that I shared with my husband and my daughter.
Absolutely.
And something that I could look back on. I knew for me that this was a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to see Roger Waters.
Yeah.
Well, and I knew that I probably would never have that option again. So, of course, we wouldn't be spending this money to see everybody. It's just the only certain artists. And these promoters know that they can do it. So, you know, Joe is talking about, you know, who are we when we're partaking in this consumerism or, you know, going to these concerts? This email is so deep, by the way. I mean, you can dissect this email and talk about each of Joe's questions for hours. You really can. So, you know, with animals, the album lyrics describe different classes of society, like as dogs, pigs, and sheep.
If you didn't care, what happened to me? I didn't care for you. We would zigzag away through the bottom of pain, occasionally glancing up through the rain.
And for those Pink Floyd fans or anyone who's a fan of Animal Farm, this kind of lightly correlates with that book. You know, dogs are the businessmen who use their power to make themselves richer and more powerful. Pigs, you know, they represent the people who feel like they are the moral authority. Sheep are the innocent workers who kindly vet that kind of like blindly follow
yep.
Everyone else. Answer his question, we all know who the promoters are. They are the dogs, right? They're the business people. And we're the sheep that just kind of, you know, following. However, no one forced us to purchase this merchandise. No,
right.
No one forced us to do it. That was the choice that we all decided to do, again, to kind of capture a moment in time that we all share together. But it's really sad that you almost, you know, like, look at Bruce Springsteen. Like, how much are his tickets going for in certain areas? I mean, you can really put yourself in debt just to go see someone that you've been listening to or, you know, for your whole life. If you're truly a fan, it's just hard to see these artists. So, I mean, concert promotion, in my opinion, is a huge business. And the bigger the artist, the larger the venue will need to be. And, you know, the more promoters expect us to pay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you know, very well said, Brandy. I think you really make a lot of really good points there, as does Joe. And I think to some degree, you know, Roger Waters and Pink Floyd have been operating on a certain level for a very long time, and that's just the level they operate on, right? And nowadays, yeah. In 2017, if you want to operate on that level, meaning if you want to play basketball arenas or hockey arenas, that's what you have to do. You have to deal with certain people, and you have to probably, you know, charge those prices to keep just the operation going, right? Just to
right.
cover the security and you know, everybody that has to be there to do that and you know, just to make a profit. I don't think Roger Waters necessarily is out to make money, right? Because we know he probably doesn't need the money. But I will say, you know, it is a really good point. And I think it's very, very difficult in rock music to actually put your actions right where the statements of your music are, right? It's very difficult. And I can really only think of a couple of bands in rock and roll history that have ever enforced, you know, these kind of standards. And like, the only one that really comes to my mind, and there may be others, but Fugazi is the only band that I can remember that insisted on two things. One, they were never going to play a show when the ticket price was over a certain amount.
It was like $5.
Usually like $5,
right?
And they had to have an all-ages policy, right? And that's, you know, it caused enormous difficulty just for them, and they were an indie rock band, right?
Right.
You know, so in some ways, it's very difficult to work within sort of a closed system that is controlled by businessmen.
That's a good example, but definitely the exception, because they could have ridden that 90s alternative wave and been one of the biggest bands.
They turned down many major label offers.
They decided they weren't going to play that game.
Right.
So that's a good example. But yeah, it's tough. I mean, Springsteen gets criticized the same way. You know, you sing about the working class and all these songs about working in factories and things like that. And yet, you know, you live in a mansion and have several homes and your, you know, kids in Equestrian and so on and so forth, right? So
that's right.
You know, it's tough. I think to some extent as a listener, you have to try to separate the art from the artist in some way. It's tough. It's tough, especially because you want to feel like it's authentic and real.
Absolutely.
And I think I will suggest that in both Roger Waters' case and Springsteen's case, they both came from upbringings and backgrounds where it does come from a real place.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're not
mm-hmm.
play acting.
Absolutely.
But, you know, I also...
But that may have faded.
That's right.
Yes, that's
right.
Now,
that's right.
Years and years and years. I mean, granted, these artists are working very, very hard, but they're becoming out of touch with the listeners. As far as, you know, and that is very relevant, especially when you have all these people paying this money, standing in lines for hours, just to get a glimpse, an experience from this artist that we all, you know, we grew up idolizing to some, you know, I'm speaking personally right now, but I mean, it really does when you think about it that way.
Mm-hmm.
How are you supporting us? How can we come and see you without, you know, laying down a grand or a lot of money?
No, you're right. You're right. And I think the way you started it, you were absolutely right. This has become like a luxury purchase for a lot of people. And there are people out there who probably, for a Roger Waters, for example, you know, have to save up some money and make this their one big splurge they're going to do, you know, for some period of time, right?
That's a vacation.
Right.
You know, what we paid, that was a vacation. And yeah, you can get seats all the way in the back, but at that point, you might as well have just stayed home and watched it on the TV because you're only watching it on the Megatron anyways, right?
Yeah. Okay.
Well said.
So.
All right. Well, get back to your painting. You know, the work that you have to do around
the
house.
Right. Right.
You can't.
This is a nice diversion. I really have to say, just thank you, Joe, for, I mean, like, I really appreciate that you listen to us, and I love this email, and I love all the questions that you brought up, and just, and thank you, Patrick and Jim, for having me back on the show. It's always a good time to be on here.
So a couple things, Brandy. One is, because of the money you spent on Roger Waters, you can't hire painters, so that's the trade-off that you make, right?
That's right.
That is a direct result. See, that's exactly what happened.
That's right.
You don't even know the conversation my husband and I have. So my husband right now is at work, and I am painting, trying so hard not to get the color on the ceiling. So thank you, Roger Waters.
Yeah, there you go. So there's that. And then the second thing is, you know, we should all go out sometime to like some of the like, you know, $20 club shows that I like to go to, right?
Yeah.
And that'd be a good night out.
You know what? I would absolutely love to do that. And I have found throughout the time that I've gone to like small venues, like the 9:30 club back in the day when I went, that because I had such an intimate experience with the artists and the band, those bands actually became some of the bands that I started listening to more and more often just because I had that personal experience. I may have not known much about the band then, but once I've seen them, like, for example, Offspring and 311 one time played at a smaller venue, and I can't remember, that was like the late 90s. But because of that, I still listen to their music to this day because I feel like I have much more of a connection.
Right, exactly.
With those type of artists.
That's well said.
You develop a relationship, and actually 930 Club, that's too commercial. We need to go to like DC9 or something like that where you're like right at the edge of the stage. But it's great because then you go and you buy a T-shirt for $25 and you feel like you're really supporting the band that actually you know, truly like needs that money.
Yep.
And it's great. So.
What a big difference when you do feel like you're supporting the band, when the band, you know, is out there trying to make, you know, people enjoy their music so they, you know, we can help them move along and getting to be the great artist that they want to be recognized for. So yeah, that's a huge difference between these big artists versus these other artists that are just, you know, making it or up and coming or trying to just get more of a base for fans and stuff like that. So I would love to. So I'm accepting the invitation. That would be awesome.
All right, we'll do that.
We're gonna do it.
Katie will be in touch.
All right. You guys take care.
Have a good day.
Thanks, Brandy.
Yep. Right. You too. Bye bye.
Thanks again to Joe Fleischer for the email. We love it when you can send us something that we can just build a whole episode around because we're doing this pretty frequently.
Yeah, every day.
Every day. You can find Rock in the Suburbs on Apple Podcasts or Audio Boom or other podcast platforms. You can visit our website, suburbspod.com. And if you want to be like Joe and send us an email,
do that.
It's rock@suburbspod.com. Mm-hmm. You can send an email about anything that catches your attention on the show. You can also call us and leave a message. We have a phone line. It's called the Suburban Party Line. That's what we call it.
Dial it up.
The number is 612-440-1984. And we really like that because then we get to hear your voice.
That's the best.
On the show. And you'll hear some of that in our next Fan Mail Friday where we have a couple of calls. And there's also social media. We do that as well. Mm-hmm. Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, all at Suburbs Pod. There we go.
Yeah. Tidy.
All right. So with that, this is Rockin' the Suburbs. I'm Jim Lenahan.
I'm Patrick Foster.
And we'll talk to you again later. Money.
get back. I'm all right, Jack. Keep your hands off of my stack.
We're hanging out on the back deck. You might hear some cicadas or stuff like that in the background.
There's
a car going by
right there
occasionally. Yeah, there is.
He's on his back. Let me help him. Hang on.
Oh, man. Oh, look at that.
Yep.
Look at that. You're a healer.
Lazarus.
Wow. He got up and he's sort of
just one touch
along.
One touch of my hand.
Very nice.
Yeah.
Well, that's your good deed for today.
Yeah.